You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max. The podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Come on, Chris.
Chris Woodward. Nice utility player with the Mets there for a minute. Yeah. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. On your smart speakers. Good morning, Key. Good morning, Jay.
What's happening? What's happening?
What's good? Man, Chris sounded a little sour, huh? A little salty.
First of all, Yankee Stadium does have a short right field push. Pretty short down the left field line, too.
Yeah, they got a deep center, though.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Death Valley. Yeah, they have deep dimensions of the park, too. But if you can pull it down the line, but both teams can do that. And by the way, hold on. Listen to Chris Woodward. Here's the Rangers manager after, you know, talking about the Gleyber Torres home run after the game.
Small ballpark. That's an easy out in 99% of ballparks. So, you know, the wind wasn't helping today, obviously, but, you know, just 3-1 count. Probably get a, you know, King is one guy that you put him back out there, you're like, okay, he's not going to give up a homer. Just happen to hit it in a little league ballpark, you know, to right field.
See, he calls it that's a real dig to call it a little league ballpark. Especially when the Rangers are one of these teams. You know what's really, like, it's clown city to me? When,
I love it.
You know, like Fenway Park, the thing about baseball, Jay Keel knows this, but like just to put you up on because you're more new to baseball, a lot of old parks were built in cities. They had zoning restrictions and stuff, so they have like funky outfields where the wall cuts in more than it should, like Fenway, right? Mm-hmm. A Green Monster.
The Green Monster.
Yeah, and lots of old-timey ballparks were like that. So then all these new money teams like the Rangers are like, oh, we get it. You don't want a big kind of stadium that's very kind of antiseptic. You want something with character. So they started, even though there were no zoning restrictions or anything, just building weird stadiums where the fence would go this way and that way because they didn't understand even why it's there. That's the Rangers. That's the Rangers franchise. New money, don't know what they're doing with the ballpark. Hilarious that they think that's a real ballpark. Going at the Yankees about Yankee Stadium? Like, here's the first thing. Key, according to StatCast, it's a 369-foot shot, and it was a walk-off in the bottom of the ninth, right, that Torres hit. So, of course, the Rangers manager's salty. It went 106.5 miles an hour. Key, it would have been a home run in 26 of 30 of the 30 major league ballparks. What's he talking about?
Still, if it was in Colorado, it'd still be traveling. Because Colorado is such a small ballpark. Much like you said, that's a new park. That park was built, 30 years ago, 30 years ago. So it's still a new park, which is a smaller outfield. It's a home runner's dream. Pitchers hate it, clearly. But I don't know. Maybe it's just some beef with the – maybe there's beef with the Yankees that he feels like he needed to make those particular comments and say what he said. Maybe that's what it is, Max, to get the Yankee fans like yourself fired up.
Oh, I think what he said was stupid, but I love it. It's like trash talking like we have in the NBA playoffs. Like, I love when people feel a certain way or they want to slight you. And the fact that they say this, it only increases – more attention around the sport and more attention around next time the Yanks play the Rangers.
You're right about that. It's just what rankles me as a Yankees fan, and I'm sure a lot of Yankees fans are feeling this way. Who is the Rangers manager to call Yankee Stadium a little league ball? See, when he calls it little league, he's not just saying the dimensions are small.
Yeah, he's very dismissive of some historical stadium, even though it's somewhat of a replica of the old one.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of being dismissive of the history that the Yankees have had in the things that they've done in Major League Baseball. That's what he's basically doing.
Yeah, Babe Ruth and Mickey Mantle and Reggie Jackson, a whole bunch of dudes hit a lot of home runs in a little league park, I guess. Meantime, the Rangers, new money, clown stadium, 11-15 right now, and Chris Woodward got calling the Yankees – calling Yankee Stadium a little league ballpark.
Guys, the biggest issue here, listen to Aaron Boone. This is my biggest issue.
His math's wrong. 99% is impossible. There's only 30 parks.
Right. So if it's 29 out of 30, it'd be 96%. Yeah, you're being corrected on math by a guy who went to USC. We learned on this show That shouldn't happen. You should not be corrected with your math by the guy who went to USC.
The
not
whole
on this
setup
show.
Just to take a shot at Key. The whole setup just to take a shot at Key.
All I would say is if Evan could get into USC, he would have ran down the turnpike and figured out how to get to L.A.
If I had Ranger money, I might have gotten into USC.
Oh, I can't with you guys.
Key knows the math, Evan. All he had to do was count to one, right? Am I right or wrong? Just count
one. You're wrong. One.
No, that's a compliment. You went first in the draft. Oh, for crying out loud. I got it. All right, that's me having your back. Yes.
Here's my other issue with Chris Woodward. In game two of the doubleheader, Eli White hit a home run. Michael Kay said on the broadcast, guess Woodward would have liked that one. White's home run would have been out of only two MLB parks out of the 30.
Yeah, he didn't have a problem with that one, though, right? That one was good. That one counted.
This sort of like Yankee Stadium's a small ballpark, Key, is ridiculous. Like
no, it's not.
Like
that's
the Dodgers, like the Dodgers play in altitude like 9 times a year in Colorado. Like
in
you want to complain about that? Complain about a stadium like that?
Yeah, that's what I said earlier. If you want to talk about a small ballpark, and I wouldn't even call Colorado a little league ballpark because it makes no sense. But the altitude, the outfield. I mean, I would be hitting home runs in Colorado. No question about it. Where in L.A., because of the humidity in the air, I know it's so weird, Jay, the humidity in the air slows the ball down when it's traveling off the bat. So you got different parks, different environments. So you get different circumstances when the ball comes off the bat.
And different emphasis is on different parts of the game. Like St. Louis has usually had teams predicated on speed in the outfield. They have a big outfield, right? If you play on turf, it plays quick. You want a defensive guy at shortstop. Yankee Stadium, short right field porch, you want lefty power. Nowadays, righty power because they could take it the other way. But, like, one of the things that makes baseball interesting is
Or even, Max, when before they had the conversions when San Francisco – what was it? San Francisco Miami, what was the other teams that went from football to baseball
Oakland.
Oakland, yep. All of their outfields was kind of funky, too, because of the way it had to align.
Oh, matter of fact, Oakland back in the day had so much foul territory that they always wanted to put – they had like a Dwayne Murphy in center and Ricky Henderson in left. You wanted the fastest outfield because you could make a lot of outs from pop flies in foul territory that in other parks would be in the stands. The point is, Jay, one of the great things about baseball – is, you know, football and basketball, you can try to take advantage of home court in different ways. Basketball, if you're playing at altitude, for example, get a deep team, right? A Denver team. Make sure you're 10 deep so you can – this is what Ujiri did when he was in Ujiri when he was in Denver. I'm going to have a second unit. It's like my first – you just run guys out of the building. In football, cold weather, whatever. But in baseball, the actual dimensions of the playing field changes, and part of what's fun is tailoring your team
your
to the dimensions of your park.
The strategy to it.
Yeah.
I want to bring it back to Chris Woodward for 1 second. It's the same guy, the manager, that's always been somewhat begroaned about the unwritten rules of baseball. Wasn't it a couple years ago, I think it was versus the Padres, like they were getting beat down, and Fernando Tatis was up 3-0. It was 3-0, and he swung for it and hit a home run.
Yeah,
and
that's him.
Like, same one, right? So it seems like there's a history of things that are following Woodward. Just this guy that just can't get out of his own way.
You can't swing 3-0 because – why? But he hit a home run.
Don't pitch to me then.
Exactly.
Right? Ridiculous. I play the game this way, so everyone else should. Yeah, but if I play the game another way, sometimes it tricks you. Don't trick me. By the way, I didn't even like it when people were criticizing A-Rod, you know, back 10 years ago. A-Rod hits a pop fly, and as he's rounding third base, he goes, I got it, because he tried to trick – I forgot exactly the circumstance, but basically tried to trick the infielder into thinking that someone else
yeah.
called – and everyone got mad at A-Rod. I'm like, for what?
He
didn't touch anybody. What are you talking about?
What was that at, in Toronto?
Maybe, yeah. I don't remember exactly. Evan, do you remember?
Yeah, it was in Toronto. It was a game in Toronto. Man, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, like
but
10 years at least.
But why does that matter, though? But it's just like in football. If I'm if the center's there and I bark out a signal, that's they dumbass if they jump. It ain't got nothing to do with me.
I think it's because A-Rod did it.
100%.
I think it's the same guy who, running down the first baseline, swiped at Bronson Arroyo, trying to field a play. Like, I think it has to do with A-Rod more than anything.
Hey,
I think that's
what?
Why baseball, people complain.
Who was that got stepped on a year or two ago on the first base and got cleated when the guy went to stretch? And I don't know who that was running down the first base line. and he stepped on the guy. Because, you know, if you missed the bag, Max, intentionally, the people will say that you tried to cleat a guy on intentionally and on purpose to injure a player. I'm trying to think who the hell
Key, I got one for you that you'll remember. You won't even like this one. This was, I believe, in the World Series against the Dodgers. Reggie Jackson stuck out his hip. Remember that? And he caught the ball and knocked it into the outfield, and it led to a Yankees rally because he was on first. He was dancing off of first base, I think, on his way to second. And so, like, stuff like that, that's that. That means you have your head in the game.
Running in the base, running in the path. Baseball is crazy as it can be. If you really dive into it, it's fun in times, but it's stupid fun. Like, you know, like comedy is, like sometimes in comedy movies is stupid funny. That's how baseball is. It's certain things that it do is just stupid.
It's great sport because you could be watching it literally for 50 years and see something you've never seen before on any given day. Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Max.
Roundy third, and they
that's,
got
that's
mad.
That's a Tim Kirchin line. The thing I love about baseball, I can watch this sport day for 100 years and see something different every day.
It's true. You see some new stuff. I've never seen that before. Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your motorcycle, RV, boat, ATV, and more. That line, by the way, Evan, goes back decades and decades. Your protection in one place.
Been saying it for decades and decades.
Yeah, he sure had. Maybe Tim made it up. That'd be hilarious if he did, because I've heard it my whole life. Bundle and save at progressive.com.
With the fourth pick, the New York Jets select Sauce Gardner. With the 10th pick, the New York Jets select Garrett Wilson. With the 26th pick, the New York Jets select Jermaine Johnson.
They're not coming in with the glaring weakness that you got to coach out of them. I think that's a really – that if you're a Jets fan, I think you feel really good about those three players because of how developed and advanced they are for their positions.
To me, it's one of the best songs ever made, Shook Ones Part 2. I love this song
so much.
Come
on, man. It's mob.
Keyshawn, Jay Willimax, ESPN Radio. Guys, Dan Orlovsky was on this very program just minutes ago and has always brought the Monday morning Dan.
But you missed it, though.
No, I didn't. I was being sarcastic. Dan Orlovsky, ESPN NFL analyst, on Zach Wilson earlier this morning.
I think Zach Wilson's at the top of the list. Dude, the Jets in 3 years, they have two first-round draft picks on the offensive line that they selected themselves, another first-round pick in Laken Tomlinson that they signed over from free agency. They signed Uzama. They've got two first-round draft picks at wide receiver now and a second-round draft pick at wide receiver. This is a very good unit. I actually think there's a ton of pressure on Zach Wilson to go play well.
What do you think, Key?
Well, Dan is right. I said it, I don't know what it was, a couple weeks ago right after the draft. I said that this team is a really good team. They're 2 years away from, like, really kicking in the door in the AFC. I don't know what the coach is. I don't know what the offensive coordinator is, and I do not know what the quarterback is. Okay, I understand Zach Wilson showed us a flash or two. He made a couple throws and made you go, wow, he threw across his body. I don't know what it is. I know that Joe Douglas has done a tremendous job at building around him with a bunch of young pieces, as Dan just said. So, you know, for him, he's got to do his part and get better from a year ago. Start where he finished. If he starts where he finishes and continues to keep growing and they help him from an offensive standpoint, calling plays and putting him in a position for success, then I think he might turn out to be something. We don't know, though.
So, Key,
we just don't know.
The Jets have upgraded their offensive line with Tomlinson, right? They've added solid tight end duos as it relates to that in free agency. Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall in the draft. What do you need to see from Zach Wilson this upcoming year to let you know that he's going to be the best second-year quarterback?
Don't commit those ill-advised turnovers that we saw. I don't even have the numbers in front of him, but it was an alarming rate in a short period
11,
of time.
11 interceptions, yeah.
Yeah, but it was like 11 in like two games. So it was like alarming in how he was doing it. Maybe he was just doing it because it didn't matter. It was a rookie season. He wanted to get it out of his system. Whatever the case was, I don't want to see that. And I want to see continued growth. Stay healthy. Health is a key issue for me as well, because that's what one of his problems was at BYU. He was often injured. And then what happened this year, he got injured. And I know the injury wasn't, you know, one of those injuries where you look up and go, oh, this guy's always injured. It was a freak accident type play, but it still was an injury. And I think if they do that with Breece Hall, strong offensive line, and a defense that's retooled, he can continue to grow. Don't push it and make – I know it's New York City, and I know they went out and drafted great players, but let's not all of a sudden think that the Jets belong in an AFC championship game next year.
Now, think about what you're saying, though, Key. It's crazy that Zach Wilson only just has to hold it down. Like, even let's say he gets to his best 3 years from now. If he's just solid, the Jets should be pretty damn good. If he's just solid. So, like, actually, in a crazy way, there's enormous pressure because they don't need him to be amazing the way they're building this team. They're just going to need him to be solid and steady, right? If he's amazing, great. But, damn, if he can't get to that, that's not look, such a high bar. Then look, the Jets man, really missed.
If he can be Chad Pennington 2.0, Mark Sanchez 2.0. If he can do those sort of things, and I'm naming them as the most recent quarterbacks in my mind that has success as a New York Jet. If he can do that, then they got something, no matter where he was drafted. Because those guys, early on, Mark Sanchez was an AFC championship appearing quarterback twice. And Chad Pennington was a playoff quarterback that was solid and sound. If he can do that, the Jets got something no matter where he was drafted at.
You see, Key, but I also think I'm with you on that. But I think this is a big year for Robert Saleh, right? Being known for what he brings to the table defensively. You talk about being able to get guys like Jordan Whitehead, DJ Reed, free agency, and then all of a sudden, you know, drafting guys like Sauce Gardner, Jermaine Johnson. Like, when you take that next step defensively, where can your team be in addition to where your quarterback is as well?
You're going to be good. You can be the San Francisco 49ers. You can be the New York Jets and Rex Ryan. You can be, if your defense is holding it down, you look at the New England Patriots last year with Mac Jones. Let's not fool each other. Mac Jones wasn't the reason they went to the damn playoffs. It was they ran the football and they played solid, sound defense and they won enough games to squeak into the playoffs. That's what they were. And if they can get that out of this unit a year or two from now, they're going to be playoff
but if
ready.
If they can't, that my point is this. Yes, agreed. But what if they can't? What a miss Zach Wilson would be then,
well,
right?
Well, they can't.
Because they're not
asking. They'll be drafted in 2 years, Max.
Yeah. But you know what? Here's the bad news is this. If they can't, then Zach Wilson is a huge bust. If they can't, but here's the flip side of that. If they're drafting again.
You said yeah. Bust. I can hear. I heard Jay growling.
Yeah, growled, yeah. But my point is, if that's the case, if they're drafting another quarterback, he's stepping into a nice situation because they'll
absolutely
have a team built up.
He's stepping into. Well, see, here's what I would say.
Bridge.
Here's what I'm going to say. If they're drafting another quarterback in a couple years, Robert Saleh's not going to be there either.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So he's going to be a new head coach and a new quarterback. If they're drafting a quarterback in a couple years based on non-injury and play on the field, that tells me that Robert Saleh and Mike LaFleur didn't get anything out of Zach Wilson, and it's time to move on from them too, because the team certainly in Joe Douglas has been built a certain way. Because I don't think they're going to miss on some of these guys that they drafted. I absolutely don't think they're missing on these guys.
Elvin Wilner, your thoughts on Zach Wilson being a potential bridge quarterback and also Key's comments on Chad Pennington.
Yeah, I would take Chad Pennington. I would absolutely take Chad Pennington's career for Zach Wilson. The Jets haven't been to the playoffs in a decade. Chad Pennington went to the playoffs three
times.
Turn
your phone off while we do the show.
Chad Pennington went to the playoffs three times. Very important call I'm getting. I wonder. That
but
be,
what's wrong, but what's
that
wrong with Chad Pennington?
Exactly. Exactly. Chad Pennington is the best Jets quarterback of my lifetime.
If Chad Pennington,
I would take Chad Pennington.
If Chad Pennington had stayed healthy, if Chad Pennington had stayed healthy and had a stronger arm, he would have won multiple Super Bowls. He was a great quarterback, but without a strong arm. But he was a very, very good quarterback.
That's what he
but what
he
I'm saying, Key.
He had a water pistol.
Yeah, but if now give him a strong arm. Like, think of everything he did and now give him a strong arm.
Of course, though, Max.
That's not the point of the conversation. It's not the type of quarterback he is. It's the career. When I take Chad Pennington's career, I don't care about the arm. I'm looking at the results that Chad Pennington got.
Absolutely.
And if Zach Wilson does that for the Jets, I'll take that. Three playoff appearances in like 5 years or whatever it was for Chad Pennington. Absolutely.
So, and that's why I said Chad Pennington, no matter where Zach Wilson got drafted, early success of Mark Sanchez and Chad Pennington's career, if I'm Jet fans, early success of Mark Sanchez now, yeah. Remember I said early, you take that and you run to the hills, man. You don't even think twice. Because if you're sitting up there based on where he was drafted, number two, all of a sudden he's got to be Patrick Mahomes or he's got to be Tom Brady and all. Because where was Eli drafted at?
He was one overall.
Okay, so wait. Yep. So he was one overall, but he was traded for Philip Rivers.
Mm-hmm. Number four overall.
Mm-hmm. So essentially, he was the fourth quarterback. Let's just say because they swapped. So
and Nate Kading and Sean Merriman in terms of what the draft picks turned.
Yeah, so it was like a whole deal. You would take that career of Eli Manning for the New York Jets in a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. You know, wouldn't even think twice about it.
Of course, of course. Well, but
right.
But so what you're talking about?
What you're talking about?
But here you're talking about two main things with Eli that non-incredible quarterbacks need to have, right? If you're not like, oh, my God, look at that, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, you need to have health. Eli was an Iron Man. And you need to be big under pressure. Eli was clutch.
In the playoffs.
And so now we need to see if Zach Wilson, if he's not, oh, my God, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, can he stay healthy? Can he perform cool under pressure?
But the reason for a 500 quarterback in Eli Manning, the reason Eli Manning kept hitting the reset button in New York is because Eli Manning won those Super Bowls. He won, hit the reset button, right? And then all of a sudden you get a runway. Mm-hmm. How the hell are you going to get rid of a two-time winning Super Bowl quarterback? You don't. And if they can get Zach Wilson to come close to that, you don't even think twice about it.
Right.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Today, this means that Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, ESPN's new Monday Night Football crew, just announced on Good Morning America that Monday Night Football will have a special Week 2 showcase event with both ABC and ESPN airing an NFL game on the same night on Monday, September 19th. Titans at Bills. It's a tasty matchup. 7:15 p.m. Eastern on ESPN, and Vikings at Eagles. See that revamped Eagles team at 8:30 on ABC. Dan Graziano giving the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Max. How you doing?
Music, Dan, it just...
Yeah, man, it does it to you, right?
Oh, man, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go play.
I can imagine.
You can't see me and my body right now, but I had, like, chills come over my body because I started thinking about coming out the tunnel... Everyone to warm up, and that music was playing.
Everyone says that. All NFL players, Dan, tell me, like, it's coming out with your teammates down the tunnel, and you hear the clink, clink of the cleats on the ground, right? And you're all coming out together. They all tell me the same thing, like, that's the moment you never get back in your life. There's no way to replicate it, right, Key?
No, think about the dream of whatever it was for boxing for you, Max, the dream growing up for whatever it was, Dan, when you decided you were going to go into journalism. I'm covering the Super Bowl. I'm covering it. Mm-hmm. Monday Night Football growing up, obviously Howard Cosell and the whole deal, but when you finally come out of college and you got that first Monday night game, and it's just like they're out there pregame and walking around, man, it's just a different feel.
Yeah,
it's a
big,
totally different feeling.
By the way, Dan hasn't said a word yet. It's the biggest TV show in America now because it's our last shared experience, right? It's not time shifted, nothing. The whole country stops and watches the same thing.
Yeah, you're not gonna stream it later. No. Right. You got to know what's going on right now. Yeah, no, I mean it's exciting. It's about 4 or 5 months away.
Is that an overreaction or not an overreaction? NFL is our last shared experience in America.
Live sports, right? Okay. NFL being the biggest, I think, yes. But live sports. I think everybody had fun watching the horse race, you know, on Saturday, like that kind of thing. Even people aren't into horse racing. Live sports is the last kind of, communal thing.
So we're playing, Dan, overreaction or not an overreaction. You have to preface it by saying that's an overreaction or not an overreaction.
I understand the rules.
Now let's do it. Titans. The Titans will miss the playoffs. This, of course, because the Eagles-Titans were announced as one of the two games. Is that an overreaction or not an overreaction?
I think it's not an overreaction. I'm not saying they will, but it's certainly possible. I mean, the losses at the wide receiver position, Tannehill last week sounded annoyed about a few things. I don't want to underrate Mike Vrabel and his coaching staff. They've done an incredible job there, but with the Colts adding Matt Ryan, I do think it's possible you see some slippage from Tennessee.
I said Titans-Eagles. It's Titans-Bills, and it's Eagles-Vikings. Titans-Bills. Go ahead, Key.
Yeah, Titans-Bills. I was going to help you with that one. But look, I think when you look at this, it's not an overreaction. Tennessee's missed some things when they got rid of A.J. Brown. Julio Jones is gone. Yes, Derrick Henry's in the lineup. But do we really know what that offense is going to be about? Yeah, I know they got Treylon Burton out of Arkansas, but he's still young, and we don't know what that is. And quite frankly, I'm not sold on Ryan Tannehill putting it on his shoulders, and I don't think the Tennessee Titans are either.
Mm.
Wow.
Oh.
How about that?
Okay. This is, in that case, Ryan Tannehill's last season as quarterback. Dan, I'll start with you. Is that an over of the Titans quarterback? Is that overreaction or not an overreaction?
They're going to dislike this segment a lot in Tennessee. I'm going to say not an overreaction. And look, I just look at the contract, right? He has 1 year left after this year. He signed through 2023. But the 23 salary is not guaranteed. They did draft a quarterback this year. As we know from his comments last week, if Malik Willis were to advance quickly and if this season were to be a disappointment for the Titans and or Ryan Tannehill, entirely possible they could move on when it's done.
That is not an overreaction at all. I would go on the record to say they are going to move on when this season is over because they probably won't make the playoffs, and if they make the playoffs, they're going to get bounced. They drafted Malik Willis. I don't know that Malik Willis is the answer at the quarterback spot, but if you remember, Dan, covering these things, they flirted with Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, and sniffed around Deshaun Watson. Mm-hmm. That's because they don't like the quarterback that they have.
I mean, Dan, you said it. If they don't, the next season's not guaranteed money, and they draft a quarterback, boy, you got a lot of mind changing to do if you want to keep your job. Okay. Kirk Cousins, Justin Jefferson, listen to this one carefully, all right?
Okay.
Is the best quarterback wideout combo in the NFC North. Overreaction or not an overreaction?
Not an overreaction. Who else is going to be? I mean, Rodgers doesn't have any receivers, and the rest of the division doesn't have quarterbacks, right? So Justin Fields, we don't know about yet, and Jared Goff is kind of marking
time
in Detroit for whoever comes next, and they don't have much at receiver. Yeah, not an overreaction. Jefferson's a stud, and Cousins is good.
Yeah, Dan, that's a layup, right? But you can always go Thielen and Cousins.
Yeah, that's true.
Or I'll give you another one. Whoever Aaron Rodgers makes the best receiver on the Packers, right? Rodgers is going to have a favorite target, and that dude's going to play well because Rodgers is going to get him the ball, right?
But we'll see. That guy might be a rookie, and we don't know how Rodgers is with rookie. Well, we do know how Rodgers is with rookie.
And we also
not
know
good.
Jefferson's a stud receiver. Mm-hmm. Okay. Eagles win the NFC East. Overreaction or not an overreaction, Dan Graziano?
Not an overreaction. I think they're good enough to do it. I think Dallas still got a good team, but I don't, you know. It's been 18 years since somebody won the NFC East 2 years in a row. That's not a coincidence. These teams are always very close.
You know, it's not an overreaction, Max and Dan. It's so weird. I went away for a few days, and I came back believing that the Eagles are probably better than the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, right, man.
But I had to let it marinate for a day or two. I had to let it sit. I couldn't just jump into it because everybody else was saying it. I had to let it sit for a little bit. And then I'm looking at it, and I said, man, they might be better than the Cowboys.
You know the other thing about the Eagles real quick? Everyone's like, Jalen Hurts, is he the long-term answer, blah, blah, blah. I don't know if he'll be there for 10 years. I do think this, though. Jalen Hurts can create a lot of problems for the rest of the conference over the next couple of years, right? He's going to be a whole lot to handle with everything they got him, too. All right, A.J. Brown leads the league in receiving yards. Overreaction or not an overreaction, Dan?
I'll say overreaction. I mean, A.J. Brown's certainly good enough to do that, but I think whoever leads the league in receiving yards is not going to be on the run-heaviest team in the entire league, which the Eagles were right up there in that category last year.
Yeah, it's certainly an overreaction. It's not a pass-happy offense. They like to run the football. They're not going to put Jalen Hurts in a position to have to throw the ball 50 times a game. So it's an overreaction.
How about Josh Allen wins the MVP? What about that one?
Not an overreaction. I think he's in the odds are probably pretty short on him going into the season, and for good reason. He's a do-everything guy on one of the best teams in the league. The quarterbacks of those teams that we expect to be at the top have to be in the conversation.
No question about it. It's not an overreaction. I wouldn't be shocked, surprised, going into the final home run stretch of the season that Josh Allen is not at the top of the leaderboard in terms of MVP consideration.
Josh Allen is a cyborg sent from the future to destroy Patrick Mahomes. And so far in all the movies, Patrick Mahomes wins in the end. But if they keep making sequels, you got to figure eventually the Terminator catches up. All right. Bills make the Super Bowl. Last one, Dan. Overreaction, not an overreaction.
It's not an overreaction. I think they have the best roster on paper in the entire league. They've been right there the last couple of years. AFC Championship game 2 years ago. That incredible overtime loss to the Chiefs in the divisional round last year. They haven't been able to get over that Chiefs hump, cyborg or no cyborg. And by the way, the Bengals came up with a guy that actually did do it.
Yeah, not an overreaction at all. They could win the Super Bowl, no question about it. They're right there, like Dan said. They're knocking on the door. I just want to know if Leslie Frazier, along with the head coach and Sean McDermott, can get out of their own way sometimes on the defensive side of the ball, putting their defense in bad situations in crucial games.
Thank you, Dan Graziano, as always. And I'll see you later, won't I?
Yes, on This Just In.
Oh, that's a terrific show. I've seen you on that show.
Yes, handsome guy, 2 to 3, we get it.
The host is very handsome. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. Why Jay's not overreacting to James Harden's big night. Next, Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, on your smart speaker by saying play ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, the podcast.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Key?
Yo.
This is your favorite thing, germ spreading.
Oh, God.
We should come up with a better expression during a pandemic still, right? But Tom Brady, Key, and Sean Payton, you already know where my mind's going with this. We're both at the F1 race, which took place right outside Hard Rock Stadium in, where else? Miami. There they are, Key. The future head coach quarterback combination of the Miami Dolphins, right? Isn't that what this means?
If Sean Payton taking a 50-year-old quarterback when he comes back to coaching, I know something. Oh, maybe they were down in Miami looking for real estate, trying to decide where they would live close to each other once they take over the Miami Dolphins job next year. Stop, man.
Wait, when you just said that, though, that sounds real to me. Like, let's go scope it out, and while we're there, we'll take in the F1 situation. Why not?
No. Why would you? If you Sean Payton, why would you want to go? And if you Tom Brady, why would you want to go in a division with Josh Allen and potentially Zach Wilson and Mac Jones and the New England Patriots in Miami that ain't really, I don't know what Miami has. They got a bunch of itty-bitty fast dudes. Why would you want that?
Because they are pretty talented. Like, at least Flores was able to get, you know, 9 wins.
I was Flores, though,
no
right?
doubt. No doubt. Right. You got rid of a good coach. Let's see what happens. But they do have that. They had that no-name defense. Now they got some weapons on offense. Can you mean to tell me if you slid Tom Brady and also Sean Payton down there, they wouldn't be alive as hell to win that division?
See, coaches and players for that matter, when you are Tom Brady, you're looking for the perfect situation. When you're Sean Payton, you're not leaving New Orleans to go mess around in Miami in that situation when you, like I said, you got Josh Allen, you got Mac Jones, and I'm assuming Zach Wilson and company is building. They're going to be okay. You're looking for something a little bit different.
Yeah, but you know what? Even if it's not exactly your home, like take L.A., right? Let's say there was a way to live in L.A., and you look at it and you go, yeah, but it's not an ideal situation. It doesn't have to be ideal when the place is that sexy, right? There might be the lure of Miami and a piece of the team and who else knows what else, right?
Tom Brady's 50, man. Y'all act like Brady got 10 more years or something.
I don't know. I said he was over the cliff, you know, about 10 years ago, so maybe he does.
No. At some point, he going to hang him up, Max. He's not going to just keep playing.
Yeah, yeah. And then plus, the head coach is going to want his own kind of team, the whole thing. All right.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Making tough shots. He's been doing that his whole career, and that's why he's here.
Back out to Oladipo guarding James. Three to shoot. Three-point shot by Harden is good. Harden with a career game for the Sixers.
You have to have a lot of different one-on-one scores on your team, and I think we have a few of those. And it was his night tonight to carry us to a dub.
He's only 2-2. We got a lot of work to do.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, your smart speakers. Guys, it looked like there was momentum. There were little signs here and there, a lot of NBA executives in Philly, and maybe Embiid actually won Denver's Nuggets center Nikola Jokic has been voted the NBA's most valuable player for a second consecutive season. This is breaking news from ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski. A formal announcement is expected this week. Tim Legler is with us now. Legs, did they get this one right?
Listen, it's subjective, Max. My vote was for Joel Embiid. And I understand, like, and Nikola Jokic, I watch him a lot of nights, and I say, you know, why are we even having a discussion? Because, you know, this guy is the most skilled player in the league when you look at, you know, the way he plays every night. But I know that's not necessarily the way it works every year, and these things are momentum type awards. I just felt like Joel Embiid took control of the award in the second half of the year, basically when the calendar year turned 2022. He hit a stretch where he was far and away the most dominant player in the NBA. And he continued that play basically through the wire. Now, they didn't have quite the same record once they hit a little bit of a bump in the road with Harden when he started to struggle. So the Sixers lost a few games. But I always looked at it like this. If a guy surges to the lead of the award, unless he, one, gets hurt, two, has his production drop off precipitously, or they start losing games at a pretty high rate, or they go through a stretch with a month where they're under 500, I don't know how you lose it. Like, he got run down in the home stretch by Nikola Jokic. And typically, unless a guy has one of those things happen to him, three things happen to him, you don't usually see that. So for me, it was Embiid, and I also thought the part of it should have been the weight of leadership and what he did this year with that distraction and that disastrous train wreck that the Ben Simmons situation created for that franchise. you know, starting in the summer, taking you all the way through to the trading deadline. And Joel Embiid showed maturity, leadership, toughness. He put that team on his back. And for me, it was Embiid. But look, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, there's no way Jokic deserves it. That's crazy talk, because it's so tight with these guys. It could have been him. It could have been Giannis. It could have been Embiid. Any one of those three guys, you can't really make a strong argument against it. It's subjective. And I just thought Joel Embiid was the guy that earned it.
You know, Legs, I hear what you're saying. For me, at the end of the day, I'm okay with Jokic getting MVP. And I hear the leadership aspect for Joel Embiid, but also don't minimize the leadership from Nikola Jokic and what he had to deal with guys like Bones Highland at times being the second-best player on his team. You talk about Campazzo playing a lot. So there's a lot of stuff that's going on both teams. I'm with you. I do want to transition to James Harden and the 76ers getting a win over Miami last night. And we had a conversation about this morning where I kept saying, I said, hey, look, James Harden had a phenomenal game. Really, he made a lot of tough shots. I think these shots were more of a byproduct of him being hot than me expecting this version of James Harden to be sustainable, Legs. You know, I don't see him dropping 35 or 30 every night. I see him being a guy, 20, 24, can give you a lot of assists. But they knocked down 49% of their threes last night. That's a huge reason why they won the game in the magnitude they did. But do you think this is going to be the James Harden we're going to see for the rest of the playoffs, or do you think it was more of an anomaly last night?
You can't take that leap, Jay. And I think, look, you and I both were on the same page with this, and I've been saying it for a while. I mean, he just hasn't looked like the same offensive player for a couple of months. He doesn't been winning those one-on-ones, whether it's a step-back three or getting a guy in his rearview mirror to create havoc in the lane. He just hasn't looked the same. And he did it last night. And look, there's going to be a lot of people that are in James Harden's camp, that, you know, it is on social media. They're going to attack us. And they come at you almost like you're rooting for him not to play well. And it's insane. I'm going by what my eyes are telling me, what James Harden was at his best and what percentage of that he is now on a night-to-night basis. Now, at no point do you think, well, he's incapable of ever having one of those nights. Of course, that's ridiculous. But I would have bet against I was going to see James Harden as good as he was last night again this postseason. Why? Where's the evidence to think that it was going to happen? Here's what happened for him last night. His lift on his three was better. His separation was better. His arc and trajectory on that shot were better. And for me, the three is what sets up his entire game. The fact that he's a threat from there makes you have to get up on your toes defensively and lean forward. And that's when he hits you with that lightning quick crossover. He gets by you, and now it's either floater, get to the line, or I'm going to make a play for somebody, because he's elite level. But when he is not making that shot and you don't have to get your weight shifted forward and you can give him a little more space, he has a much harder time getting by you. And that is what has been going on with James Harden. So for a night, whatever reason, his legs looked good. His bounce was good. He got off the ground. His timing on his release was better. So his arc on the shot was better. And it was going in at a high rate. And it was a threat from out there. If he can keep doing that, yeah, Sixers are probably going to win the series if James Harden plays like that. But we don't know if that's last night or is now he able to transfer that to the next three games, because I think it's going to go seven. And is he going to be able to do that? Either he or Maxey has to be great on a given night for him to win. So let's see if they're able to do that going forward. At least now it's a best of three, and James Harden has introduced himself to the series.
Tim Legler, our NBA expert. I was going to call him an expert. I don't agree with him because I want to be right, but he's right. Joining us this morning are Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max about James Harden. So right on that one. CJ, I listen to Tim and not you.
Shocking.
Yeah, right. Tim, how do the Grizzlies win without Ja Morant in the lineup?
Well, look, I mean, the evidence points to their record in the regular season, right? But here's the only problem with that. This isn't the same Warriors team as the teams that they were beating in the regular season when Ja Morant was out. I'm sorry, it's just not. What Jordan Poole has done and his emergence has given them another elite-level offensive talent. And that's how he's playing right now. This isn't a situation where it's system-based or he's having a hot run. The guy has lightning quicks. He's got handle. He's got deep range. Jordan Poole now has added an element to this team without Klay Thompson back, at least physically, right? He's not as consistent as, you know, you'd hope he would be if you're Steve Kerr. But, look, the flashes are there. You've still got Curry. You've got Draymond Green. And, by the way, Andrew Wiggins, some nights your fifth best player. He made the All-Star team this year. So this isn't necessarily the same teams that they were beating in the regular season. So people are going to point to that number. Well, look what they did without him. They're going to do it. I don't know, man. They weren't playing teams like this with an added talent like Jordan Poole into the mix. Now that we expect Jordan Poole to get 20 on a bad night now. And so for me, that's going to be a little bit too much for them to overcome. And if they fall into a 3-1 hole because Ja doesn't play game four, they're not winning three straight against this team.
Thanks, Tim. Much more KJM next on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.